Hello, and welcome to Sekihan. Today, a school trip in Okinawa that ended in tragedy, and the report, 4.5 months later, that finally explained how it was allowed to happen. First, the story so far, assuming you have never heard of this case. On March 16, 2026, two small boats capsized off Hanako on the coast of Okinawa in southern Japan. On board were high school students on a study trip, a 17-year-old student, and one of the boat captains died. 14 others were injured. The school is run by Doshisha, one of Japan's most prestigious private education groups, based in Kyoto. 4.5 months later, on July 31st, an independent investigation panel set up by the school's parent foundation published its report. Its finding: the foundation clearly breached its duty of care to its students, and deficiencies in safety management were the single largest cause of the accident. In parallel, the bereaved family has filed a criminal complaint against 11 people, and the Coast Guard has searched the school. That is where things stand as of August 1st. Three questions for today. First, what exactly did the report find? Second, what moved during those 4.5 months, and who moved it? Third, who answers for this accident and in which legal forum? One note before we start. The boats were operated by a group that protests a contested U.S. military-based construction project in that bay, and the trip visited the area as part of the school's peace studies program. This video takes no position on the base issue. Our subject is the accident and the accountability process. So question one, what did the report actually find? It concluded that deficiencies in safety management, not bad luck at sea, were the largest cause of the accident. It named three breach duties: the duty to inspect the boat course in advance, the duty to design a trip plan that ensured safety, and the duty to properly explain the course to students and parents beforehand. And it sorted the root causes into four categories, from deficient systems, to a risk process that never functioned, to an organizational culture that suppressed scrutiny. Notice what all of these have in common. None of them are about decisions made on the day of the accident. They are all about the stage before the trip was ever put together. The specific findings make the meaning concrete. Teachers never once conducted an advance inspection of the boat course. The school's crisis management manual had no section on off-campus activities at all. Staff members learned what their roles on the trip would be only just before departure. And the panel found no trace, none, of anyone raising questions about the course's safety. The report's phrase for how the boarding was decided: unfounded trust in the boat captain. In short, the machinery for checking danger was never switched on. That is the core of the report. The report also contained a fact that even the bereaved family had never been told. The student who died, 17-year-old Tomoka Takeshi, had asked to transfer out of the Hanako course before the trip. The course was over capacity. Transfers were decided by lottery. 14 students were allowed to move, and she was not one of them. Her family learned this for the first time from the report, 4.5 months after the accident. Their comment: we learned this from the report, and we have not yet been able to come to terms with it. Question 2. What moved during those 4.5 months? Here is the timeline. March 16th. The two boats capsize. Two people die, 14 are injured. March 28th, right after the funeral, the student's father begins publishing online. Around the same time, the foundation sets up its independent investigation panel. May 22nd. Japan's education minister formally labels the school's safety management grossly inappropriate and orders improvements. The transport ministry's Okinawa Bureau files a criminal accusation over maritime transport law violations. In July, the family's criminal complaint is accepted, and on the 25th, the Coast Guard searches the school. And on July 31st, the report is published. Government sanctions, the family's publishing, and the criminal investigation. Three tracks, moving in parallel. Inside that timeline, one force stands out: the family's own publishing. The father wrote continuously on a Japanese blogging platform and on X. He corrected a widespread misunderstanding. His daughter had not chosen the chorus out of interest in the protest. She wanted to see the coral reefs. He documented the gaps in the trip's safety checks and appealed for information. By mid-April, his accounts had over 110,000 followers combined, according to press reports. And why file a criminal complaint? The family said it plainly. They feared the investigation would close without the school ever becoming a target. In fact, investigators entered the school's decision-making, the search, only after the family formally demanded it through their complaint. Now, how Reddit reacted. And this time, the reaction pattern itself is part of the story. Right after the accident, one widely upvoted comment predicted how this would end. Deep bows, a few pay cuts or suspensions, and that will be the end of it. Most institutions count on the public not staying interested that long. 4 months later, the Coast Guard raided the school, a major development. The new Reddit thread reporting it drew only a scattering of comments. The longest was simply, "More than 4 months later, huh?" The prediction that attention would fade was, ironically, confirmed by the silence that followed it. The original threads also debated the educational program itself, but one comment cut through the argument and gathered broad agreement. Set the neutrality debate aside. At minimum, they could have kept the kids out of physical danger. These were just children who trusted the adults to protect them. Whatever one thinks of the program, verifying safety is a separate job. That framing matches what the report would later find. Question 3. Who answers for this? On Reddit, one commenter asked, "Wait, wasn't this the accident where the captain was at fault?" That confusion is exactly why the responsibility has to be split into layers. There are three: the people who operated the boats, the school that planned the trip, and the foundation that runs the school. And crucially, these are not on a scale. One layer being heavily at fault does not make another layer lighter. Layer 1. The operators. The decision to sail that day, the handling of the boats, the vessels, registration and safety management, this is what the Coast Guard has investigated from the start. The Transport Ministry's Okinawa Bureau has already filed a criminal accusation over maritime transport law violations. But the operators have their own account. Crew members said right after the accident that their rule was not to sail when waves exceed 3 meters, and that day's forecast was within the limit. Whether the decision to sail amounts to criminal negligence is exactly what investigators are working out. Layer 2, the school. Here's a detail that matters. The Hinoko course was not a travel agency's package. The school built it directly with the local hosts, its own program. Which means the three breach duties, inspecting, planning, explaining, were the planner's job. They could not be delegated to the boat operators. Layer 3, the foundation and its management, the systems and the culture. The report's sharpest distinction is this: saying the accident was unforeseeable and never having run the machinery for foreseeing danger are two different things. But note what the report does not do. A finding that systems failed is not a finding that any specific individual is culpable. Who was responsible for running that machinery is what the criminal investigation will now determine. One legal premise has to frame all of this, especially for viewers outside Japan. In Japan, a criminal complaint by a victim's family is a formal request for investigation and punishment. It is not an indictment, and it is not a finding of guilt. After acceptance, investigators investigate, and prosecutors alone decide whether anyone is charged. For criminal negligence to stick, prosecutors must prove, for each individual, that they could concretely foresee the accident and could have prevented it by acting properly. That bar is far higher than the investigation panel's finding of organizational fault. The 11 people named span very different positions and degrees of involvement. And the presumption of innocence applies equally to the school's staff and to the boat operators. Criminal court is also not the only path. Civil damages, government sanctions, and the Foundation's own reforms are all moving in parallel. Time to wrap up. What the report found was not a bad call made at sea. It was that the machinery for checking danger had never been switched on. However sincere the educational purpose, sincerity is no substitute for site inspections, cancellation criteria, and the other procedures that verify safety. And school programs that run on the goodwill and expertise of outside partners exist everywhere. This structure is not unique to one school in Japan. One more thing. For 4.5 months, much of what kept this case moving was the family's own publishing. Must a grieving family write posts, find lawyers, and file complaints just to get an organization's decisions examined? The next family in this position may not have this family's reach. Whether scrutiny can work without depending on a family's power to be heard, that, we would argue, is the question this accident leaves behind. The responsibility of each of the 11 individuals will be determined by investigators and courts. As of August 1st, nothing has been concluded. The civil, administrative, and institutional reform tracks continue in parallel. We will follow the developments on this channel. The full article and sources are linked in the description. Thank you for watching.